Our passage is Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and while you're turning there, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll read these verses together. Father God, we're humbled by the fact that you would reveal yourself to us. Those who are in our sinfulness are contrary to you, are opposed to you, are resentful and rejecting of you. And yet you have revealed yourself to us in your word, and you have worked within us to be able to read your word and understand your word and apply your word. Father, as we come to these verses, apply them to our lives. Help us to understand. Shape us and form us by them. For your glory, in Christ we pray. Amen. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As we've slowed down in these verses to really look at the fruit of the Spirit, I have kind of left off this last portion. We've looked at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But Paul says about these fruit of the Spirit that they're against such things there is no law. And that's what I want us to consider today, that against these things there is no law. And that, in fact, is my first point. There is no law. As our text reads, against such things there is no law. When we read these words, in our Bibles, we see no incongruities with these words of Paul. And I say no incongruities because the translators have already dealt with and addressed the incongruities that are present by their choice of translation. What do I mean by incongruities? Such things. If we're going to understand there is no law against such things, we need to really understand the such things. Greek language makes a distinction between masculine, feminine, and neuter as it relates to its case. A word is divided out into a masculine word, a feminine word, or a neuter word. And we have that in the English as well to some extent. Clearly, we have it in the pronoun him, her, it. Masculine, feminine, neuter. But Greek uses this case, this masculine, feminine, or neuter, to connect words together. So every word has some case applied to it. I mention this because the such things in the ending of verse 23 could be either in the masculine gender or the neuter gender. If it's neuter, it deals with the virtues. Each one of the virtues is, their case is in the neuter. So in which case, Paul is saying there is no law against such virtues. But if it's the masculine case, then we would have to apply there is no law against the individual who does these virtues. I say there's incongruity because this word, such things, is declined in such a way that the neuter and the masculine look exactly alike. Spelled, the only way is to wrestle with what Paul is writing about. In such a case, I'm going to just begin with it, applying it to the neuter, to the virtues. And I want us to see that if we apply this language, against such things, there is no law. If it applies to the virtues, it's a truism that we all know. Look at the laws of our land. Think about the laws of the land. What law is there that declares that any of these virtues, what law is there against any of these virtues? I tried to think of some. In fact, I was looking up some to see if there were any. When I couldn't find any, I wish I would have found something because then it would have kept my mind from wandering. But my mind started wandering down this road and I started thinking about a law on love. And how could you apply love in a negative sense? It goes too much into motive. So I started thinking about joy, and I started thinking about laws that could come up with that could be against joy. And clearly, a student who wasn't joyful or shouting with glee over the homework assignment, well, that would be a chargeable offense. An individual who didn't whistle while they worked, well, that would be a law against joy. What about peace? I started thinking about people who brought lawsuits. Well, you can bring your lawsuit because this person was clearly against you, but in bringing your lawsuit, we're going to charge you for not being peaceable. or for being... my mind. Trying to figure out laws against these virtues. And we can't think of them. Because our society values these virtues. Started thinking about faithfulness and just the thoughts of the Congressional Medal of Honor and the Purple Heart. These are awards given to those who are faithful. There is no law against these virtues. It's clearly a truism. Because our world values love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, it might not practice these virtues the way we understand them biblically, but it still values them. Commentator named Morris said this: Paul's work or writing is a master understatement, masterly understatement. It draws our attention to the fact that the kind of conduct that Paul has outlined is that which lawmakers everywhere want to bring about. There's no law against these virtues. In fact, the laws that we have are trying to bring these virtues into existence in society. The laws that are being made are for these virtues and not against them. In fact, it would be hard to legislate to bring about these virtues. Which now we understand the problems with our Congress. Think about love. The individual who's trying to love their neighbor pulls their car forward on the street so it is parked in front of your house, giving your neighbor ample room to park their vehicles. One time you park, kind of encroaching in a way in front of your neighbor's house, but your intent was to pull as far forward as possible without hitting the vehicle in front of you. And you did so, but now your neighbor is angry. Your intent was to love your neighbor by making sure you didn't block, but they have evaluated your intent as blocking them and causing issue. These virtues are so subjective. They deal really with our motive and how we are, what our desire is. In fact, a Christian who is trying to apply these virtues as Paul has laid them out might be practicing them even though their neighbor doesn't see it, because they deal so much with your intent and your desire. But Paul clearly says there is no law against these virtues. But if they're about intent, that it's in our mind. Well, that's the if these things is the in the neuter. But I want us to think about if these things are in the masculine. And I read one individual who says this: if a person has this fruit, he doesn't need the law. In fact, he already fulfills the law. If a person has the fruit of the Spirit, if they already have this intent within them, they don't need a law to govern them to say, this is where you can park or where you can't park. They would say, I want to park in a way as to love those who I am parking around. You might think about a parking lot situation. If an individual is parked too close on one side to the line and too close to the other side, and if you pull right in the middle, you'll block both vehicles. The virtue of love says, I'm not going to park there, even though I am going to have to walk further. This individual doesn't need to be governed by the legislator, because he already practices the virtue in their character. I want us to think about the Garden of Eden. What law was there for these virtues in the Garden of Eden? There was no law in the Garden of Eden, though it was present. Well, we can't imagine God creating Adam and Eve and saying, you can be as hateful as you want to one another, just don't eat that tree. Eat from that tree. No, the virtue of love was present in the garden, but God did not have to legislate that because they were created in the image of God and they had that virtue by their being. God made a different law, not about virtue, but about saying, declaring who God is and his authority. He said, all of this I give you, don't eat of that tree. Yeah, there was no law in the garden about joy or peace or patience. We might contend about self-control. Clearly, there was. If there had been some restraint, we would not be in the predicament we're in today. But there were no laws about this. God did not have to command these virtues. They were present. And so, when Paul mentions that against such things there is no law, against the person who's practicing these virtues, there is no law. But when I want that to take me into my second point. There is a law. There is a law. And I know there is a law because as I've studied these virtues, I have been condemned that I am not a more loving person. And as we've been going through it, you might have found yourself like me saying, I know that love is called for and I know that love is to be sacrificial, but I keep finding myself not being a very loving person to those who I am in relationship with or who I am surrounded by. Not to mention my joy and my, instead of the joy that should be present, I'm grumbling that it's Christmas because I have so many packages to deliver. And who wants to, I come to church and I'm proclaiming the wonder of the season and go to work and grumbling over the day in which I celebrate the birth of the Savior who died so that I would not be grumbling. Do you see the inconsistencies? And so we know that there is a law. We know because we continue to fail and to fall short. As I was thinking about preaching these verses, a friend posted this thing on Facebook, and it was an individual sitting on a park bench watching the sunrise with a cup of coffee. And another individual walks by and bumps their elbow and spills out the coffee. Why did they spill the coffee? Our first answer is to say that they spilled the coffee because someone bumped them. When in fact, the reason they spilled coffee is because coffee was in the cup. Coffee was in the cup. See, as I'm considering the fact that there is a law, I'm wondering about my life and what comes out. I can plan to, in order, how to be peaceable. And as long as my life is running in order, I can try and be peaceable, and I can usually demonstrate peace. And as long as things are going well, I can evidence joy in my life. And we can go along and think about all the ways that we can anticipate and prepare to demonstrate these virtues in our life. But the problem is people walk by and bump our elbows. And which case, it's not what we have been preparing for, but what is in our cup. And if our cup is not filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of that Spirit, then what is going to come out is that which Paul has been telling us should not be in a Christian's life. Now, as I've been studying these virtues, I have seen the areas in my life where the virtues are absent. Rather than love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, I have immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. The law that is present is against these works of the flesh. And it's when we dump out of our life these works of the flesh, when they spill forth onto society, onto our loved ones, onto those we care for, those we're in relationship with, it is this where we find ourselves as transgressors. And it's not the fact that it's a law against the virtues, but it's a law against the places where the virtues are absent. The laws that are there are for the places in our life where the virtues are absent. And as I've studied this, I've seen their absence in my own life. And I imagine you've seen their absence in yours as well. Which takes me to my third point. We have to remember that we are reading a letter from Paul, and Paul has more than just the virtues to discuss. And my third point is this: Jesus Christ redeemed us from the law. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the law. That's what Paul was telling us all the way back in Galatians 3. In verse 10, he says, "For as many as are of the works of the law, they are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.'" We are under a curse because we cannot do that which God has called us to. We cannot, in fact, to place this verse 10 in context with Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it's because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are absent that we are under a curse. And it is declared we're under a curse. Because we are not these people. "Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith." And Paul has been telling us it's not whether or not the virtues are present or absent, but rather what you believe about who Jesus is. So while we study the virtues, don't let them distract you from what Paul has already said. Because Paul said that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus took our inability to do the fruit of the Spirit upon himself, and he hung on a cross for you and for me. Jesus paid the price of the law. There is no law against these fruit of the Spirit, because the individual who has the fruit of the Spirit working in them are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they are God's people. The law that would be against them is a law that has already been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So when Paul says, against such things there is no law, we should take that more, not just looking at the virtues and making it the neuter, but also the masculine, because those people who have the Spirit within them, those individuals, there is no law because the law has already been fulfilled. Do you understand? The law, there isn't a law because it's already been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And so we who are studying these virtues, even though we're condemned, we turn again our gaze on Christ Jesus, who says it's fulfilled. And I have forgiveness. And I have grace. And I have another opportunity now to practice these virtues.
and tomorrow.
See, as Paul writes this, he wants us to understand that the virtues are going to be becoming more evident in your life as a believer, as you continue along that journey into eternity. But it's not the presence or absence that's going to keep us out of eternity with Christ Jesus, but our view of Christ. And dear Christians, as Christians, we keep our eyes on Christ, knowing that He has granted us the Holy Spirit, who is going to be helping us produce these virtues, these fruit in our lives. There is no law, but there is a law. But Christ redeemed us from that law. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for the conviction that turned us away from our own righteousness and revealed to us our need of a Savior. We thank You for Your provision in that Savior, in sending Your Son to go back to where we began this worship service, that You sent Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, because You loved us. And through Him have invited us into relationship with You, and You are now working in us to make us that which You have called us, and You have called us children. And Your children start looking like their Father, and they produce the things that their Father produces. No, we're not begotten. We're never claimed to be begotten, but we are made, and now we are being fashioned so that we look like children, because You've adopted us as children. Father, help us, we pray. Amen.